5 years on since the John Delaney era, the FAI find themselves in yet another crisis. No CEO, no manager. We're here to get your opinion. How do you feel about it? Is it good enough? You're a stakeholder. You're an Ireland fan. That's why you're watching. I want to hear from you. I want your opinion on the current state of play with the FAI. How do you feel about it? Tell us. I want your opinion live here on Lance and Roar. David Dunn here on his own, as you can tell, live here. It's Sunday night. It's Lansdowne Roar Live. You're very welcome here to, of course, another edition. As always, guys, if you like what you hear, love what you see, scan that QR code, hit that subscribe button, and head over to our Facebook, Instagram, and our Twitter. So basically, bit of a change of plan, sort of, tonight. I was supposed to have Nick on me, but unfortunately can't be with me. Martin was at Wembley today to see that wonderful performance by the Red Devils. But here, yes, I want to talk to you guys out there. We had a state of play on Friday. It is available on YouTube and it is available on lansandroar.ie. We get all our podcasts and Spotify and all that sort of thing. And we basically just ranted about the current state of affairs with the FAI, about Mark Hanum, the director of football, releasing an in-house video on Friday to the FAI saying, we don't have a manager. And we probably won't have one until September. And we might have an interim manager that can take over things for the two friendlies coming up in June. Sorry about that. Get you annoyed about it, but football, a funny old game, as Jimmy Greaves once said. So basically, I just want to get your opinion on it. This is the first time we've had a chance to actually hear from you guys, the Roar Faithful, and I want to get your opinion. I want to hear what you think about it. They are watching the FAI. They do watch us here on Lansdowne Roar. I'm not trying to say that to sort of self-gratify the podcast or self-gratify the page. They do watch us, as I'm sure they watch all forms of media just to make sure the correct information is going out. So have your say. Get involved, as always. Get your comments in. Tell us what you think. Do you think it's good enough from the FAI? Are you happy with the fact that we will probably, it will take us 10 months to have a manager? We've gone over 150 days since we've had Stephen Kenny in charge. They spoke to Lee Carsley in November. He said no. They spoke to other managers. We were promised a manager in February before the Nations League draw. We were also then promised a manager early April. But due to contractual obligations, they couldn't talk about it, who it was. We thought it would be very clever. I thought it would be very clever. I thought it would be very diligent in how they went about things. You know, they kept things under wraps and nobody knew about it. You know, it's a bit of a leak fest. But then, of course, it turns out the reason why nothing was leaking out, because there was nothing in the pipeline. There was no manager. Now, I'm sure things change, etc. But at the end of the day, the FAI have constantly broken their own deadlines that they have put out. No one's put words in their mouth. They've come out and said to us, they've given us these deadlines. And we were promised a manager by early April. And it turns out we're told at the end of April, basically, we won't have a manager on an in-house FAI channel. To little or no scrutiny. Basically, Cathal Dervin, I believe, was the guy that was asking the questions. I mean, should Mark Hanum have faced the media? And why do it on a Friday? We knew, we heard about this all week, that they were going to release some sort of statement. We were expecting a press conference of some sort. We never got that. We got an in-house channel sort of statement. No questions, no fuss. And that was it. I want to hear. Tell me what you think. I'm angry about it. I see the comments coming in there. So, yeah. Good one there from Sebastian. But yeah, I'm just seeing those comments coming in there. I want to get to them towards the end there. But yeah, I want to hear from you guys. You know, it was funny that at about 12:15, I got an email from the FAI, the media side of it. And they basically said that, oh yeah, by the way, here's a video from Mark Hanum. Here's a statement. And about 40 minutes later, I got one of my personal accounts saying, oh, by the way, get your tickets for Hungary. It's going to be amazing in June. No manager, no CEO. And that's another thing. I mean, here we are 5 years later after the John Delaney era, shall we say. Hill took over, 4 years in charge. Here's a guy who, you know, his job was to steer us away from controversy, keep us on the back pages. Instead, he put us slap bang in the front pages, went to the Public Accounts Committee in February and basically went to them and said, because 20 grand hit his account that shouldn't have hit his account, basically. It was holiday pay and travel expenses that he was not entitled to. And then only because Sports Ireland audited their accounts independent of the FAI, because it's part of the Memorandum of Understanding. What's this 20 grand? Oh, well. And anyway, Jonathan Hill went to the Public Accounts Committee with this email and said, yeah, no, it's grand. Yeah, you have to take my word for it. You know, nothing too bad here. You know, it was a joke. It was all a joke. Here, I gave the money back, kind of half a billion quid, please. I just want to talk about all these sort of things here. But anyway, that's how I feel about it. I'm quite angry. Also, another topic that came up during the week was James McLean. James McLean came out and said, it sort of went under the radar a little bit because we were going to talk about that on the State of Play. But then, of course, the whole Canham thing happened on the Friday and we recorded, Martin and I, on Friday. You can catch it there. But James McLean, what do you make of him? He's opened up over his disappointment about how he felt, how he was treated towards the end of his career. He said, it left a sour taste as he bowed out in November friendly against New Zealand. It's obviously a successful one. It's a sense of justification, was how McLean described. Oh, sorry, that's about his Wrexham thing there. Sorry. This was McLean on Stephen Kenny's reaction to his move to Wrexham. I remember a phone call that I had with the manager of Ireland at the time, and I told him about the move to Wrexham. He couldn't wait to get off the phone. And basically, yeah, he felt then after that. Oh, hold on. Sorry, guys, you're going to have to bear with me here. Ultimately, I would say that contributed a major factor in my decision to step away from. So my thing has gone all funny on me here, my phone. Oh, well, I can't get it up. But anyway, you get the gist of it. McLean was absolutely fuming about it. Apologies for that. But basically, he said that, yeah, he felt he didn't like the way the whole thing was handled. He was left out of the squad for the first time when he dropped down to the fourth division of English football, League Two at Wrexham. And then basically turned around and said, yeah, I felt that was disrespected. I was involved in all the squads, and all of a sudden I'm dropped from this one. I don't see what the issue is there. Why, you know, you would drop me. And also then he felt, even though he was able to go out on his own terms in November and start, and I think he captained the team as well, he felt it was disrespectful how he was subbed, as it was a double substitution. I love James. I want to get your reaction to this out here as well. There's a fair bit to talk about, actually, during the week. It's just the Canham, whole Canham thing has taken over a bit. But what do you make of that with James McLean? Do you think he was fairly treated? Do you think he was harshly treated? I personally think he was. I like James. I've never met the man, but I like him. I think he was treated very well. I think Stephen Kenny bent over backwards for him. I think he catered for him to get his 100 cap at home to Gibraltar. I think he came on against Greece to get his 99th cap when we got battered 2-1. In Athens, I think it was that game, and then it was Gibraltar at home, the next one, and he captained the side and he started that game, and then he walked, you know, he went out of the squad after that, and kind of, you know, said how badly treated he was, but he got to go out on his own terms. I think he was given a fantastic send off, you know, at the end of last year. You know, you think back to some of the great Irish players. He never got that level of a send-off. You think of Roy Keane, his last game, France, September 2005. Damn squib, lost 1-0. Sort of just walked off dejected. Ronnie Whelan, Austria, captain of the side, in that 3-1 loss. Jack's first competitive loss at home, I believe that was. Austria 3-1. Do you remember? 1-0 up. Harry's challenge. You know, Ronnie Whelan. And there's a few others as well that never really got a fantastic sound off. I thought James was treated very well. What do you guys think about that out there? And also tell me about the games coming up in June. Are you still going to go? Obviously, we've no manager. How do you think the FAI have been towards, how, you know, we're talking about being disrespectful. How do you think they are towards John O'Shea? You know, Mark Hannum came out and said on Friday, he said, well, you know, we're going to talk to John about that, but we'd like him to be in charge of the two games. Hungary, and then a week later, Portugal away. Hungary at home, Portugal away. Do you think that's... I think that's been disrespectful to John O'Shea. What if he tells him to go stick it? I mean, would he be entitled to? What do you think about that? If you weren't going to the games in June, would you go now? And if you were going, or have you changed your mind? Let us know. Let us know in the comments. We see them coming in there. Just want to... getting to build up and we get a bit of a thing going on in there. I think also one of the situations as well in Irish football, one of the things to talk about is the Flair situation. Derry City game against Shamrock Rovers in the Brandywell, I believe it was, and you had a flare thrown on the pitch and you have a child running on the pitch with a flare and basically running off. There's a flare on the pitch. Kid runs on it, grabs it, runs off with it. Only in Irish football. I mean, we've been saying it here. The flare situation has got completely out of control, it seems, in the FAI, in the League of Ireland. And, you know, they really need to do something about this. We had a referee. We had a Shells fan who was banned. Damien Duff apparently was going to save him, was going to talk to the kid, and he was going to, I don't know, he was going to rescue him or whatever and have a chat with him. And the club went, no, we're going to ban him. And then apparently Shelburne were allegedly on Twitter, were banning fans, blocking the fans on Twitter for talking about it. I don't know if you guys saw that. So there's a lot to talk about here in terms of Irish football. So let's get into it. Let's get into your comments. And Sebastian Knowlton, how are you, pal? Mark Canham, more like Mark Can Him or Can He. What do you think about Mark Canham, lads? He's the guy that... he's the director of football. And I think Martin has said we've put so much trust into Mark. You know, he's put so much trust in there. We've had to put so much trust into Mark Canham in terms of Irish football. But what do you make of him now? Is this a guy, has he lied to the fans? You know, he's come out and he was giving us deadlines. He was telling us it was going to be February. Then it was... don't know if he said March, but then he said April, early April, and it was just contractual situations we had to sort out. And he doubled down on this. And now he's come out and said, trust the process. Trust the process. How can we trust? Can you trust the process? Do you trust the process? I don't trust the process. And Yuri Nick? No, Martin or Nick. It's not as good when you do it by yourself, is it? Thanks, Yuri Nick. Oh, you're getting on so well last week. No, it's not ideal, Neri, but you know what? Here I am for you. I'm here for you guys on a Sunday evening. Doing my best for you. Neri Nurk again. FAI shit show. Just keeps on shitting. Shakes head in despair. It is a shit show, isn't it? I mean, 5 years, Neri. We had to hold John Delaney thing. We had at the end of that of 2019, 65 million quid in debt. It's all terrible. It's all bad. 4 years later, I mean, you look at the mishandling. I think we blew a once in a lifetime opportunity for this government anyway to go to the government cap in hand. Can we have half a billion quid? Probably never going to get half a billion quid. But absolutely shit the bed in front of the PAC. John and Hill did. We had 4 years without a main sponsor. And it was just an extension of the women's one. Now, to be fair, I believe it went from 380,000 per year on the women's team, and it got extended to 1.8 million euros per year with the two put together. This guy was a marketing director, I believe, for the FA for 4 years, Jonathan Hill. So, yeah, and we went 4 years without that. I mean, incredible stuff, really, when you think about it. And, you know, have we, though? And I want, you know, I'm not just asking you this question. It's an open question. Have we actually moved forward? Okay, the debt's gone down a little bit. But have we actually moved forward at all? And, you know, the reason why I'm so annoyed about this is because I was the one that was coming out here week in, week out, getting a bit of stick off mates and, you know, comments on here. And people saying to me, "Oh, no, you're a bit of a yes man for the FA." No, I was like, listen, we have to trust the process. We have to give them a chance. We have to, you know, we have to turn around and say, right, we have to give these lads, we know it was terrible all these years ago, but you can't keep saying it's crap. You have to go, okay, I've got to give you a chance because you're the only ones that run football in this country. So how about it? You know, I please just prove me wrong. And yet again, 5 years later, we're still in the same situation. And also, imagine the good people that work for the FAI as well. When you see these sums coming out, I think it was 280 grand was Jonathan Hill's wage, his salary. Imagine, you know, you're like, there are lots of good people in the FAI. And there are lots of good people. I don't know, good people. They're doing good work. You know, you see the social media side of things. I think they do a cracking job. They're trying to get people more interested in the fan, in the team, you know, with the YouTube videos, the Instagram, to make it more interactive. They've opened it up to podcasts like ourselves. You know, we get to go in, we get to report on the games, we give you your say. And they really, they're trying to get it, the interest into the team. But when you have things like this going on, when you have the fiasco with the CEO, when you have the fiasco with the managerial situation, that's obviously beyond anyone's control, you know, on social media or whatever, that you must be shaking your head, these guys. There's lots of good people doing good work in the FAI. So I'm not here to just, you know, burn the whole thing down, but we have to call it as it is. Stephen Ring, as bad as things were under John Delaney, this is taking things to a new level. Hashtag new FAI me bollocks. Well, just as I touched on there, Stephen, it's have we moved forward? Have we actually moved forward here? You know, I think we're in a worse situation because I think it should have been, personally, it should have been a watershed moment it was a watershed moment. And it's a watershed moment that you learn from where you go, right, we had a guy, he was in charge for 14 years. You don't have a CEO for 14 years. It doesn't work. You should have, in my opinion, in my limited corporate experience, as if in no corporate experience, but just off the top of my head, I'm thinking, right, you want to bring the FAI on, you want to bring a structure on, or an entity on. So you plan things about 20 years, 25 years, you have your blue sky thinking, and you go, right, we need somebody that gets us from this part to this part. And that could take 5 years. And you go, do you know what? Thank you very much. Well, that person goes, listen, it's been amazing. I've taken you as far as I can come. You need someone else. Then you get to this part in the line and you go, right, we've moved forward. We need someone else and it takes that next bit and so on and so forth. And you think, you can't have that with somebody in charge for 14 years because it goes stale. It gets political, as we saw, and we end up in the mess that we were in. And you think, surely we're going to learn from that. And we just haven't. And that's the most depressing part, Stephen. That's what I find. That's what annoys me the most. You think, surely to God you've learned from this. Richard Joyce. Sorry, lads. I'm really angry. I'm not even drunk. I don't drink. I'm just fuming. Richard Joyce. If you look at long enough, it's clearly going to be Willy Sagnol. They're waiting for the Euros to be over to get him. It's common sense if you think of it. Richard, yeah. What do you guys think of Richard's comment there? I'm going to have a swig of my peppermint tea. Yeah, I go with that, Richard. I think seems to be, I mean, yeah. I mean, September. I mean, first of all, good luck to the next poor fecker. I take that, does take it, because they're going to have a whole summer. If it is Willie Sagnol, he's going to have the Euros. He's going to have his hands full with Georgia. I think it's Georgia's first ever tournament. By the way, and fair play to Georgia and fair play to Willie Sagnol. For the, you know, he's got them there. That's the main thing. If you look at the results, they haven't really pulled up any trees. But you know what? They're in the Euros. We're not. That was the path in front of them. And fair play. And best luck to Georgia. It's a lovely, beautiful country. Great people. I was there 5 years ago. And, you know, wish them all the luck. I'll be cheering for them. But he's going to be focusing on that. Let's say it is Willie Sagnol, right? He's going to be focusing on what they're doing over there. He's not going to be paying attention to Ireland. If he is, maybe he might not want to take over Ireland. Maybe he'll stay on with Georgia. He might get him out of the group, you know, or he'll do well in the group, make a fist of it. And he might stay on. He might enjoy it. And then we have nobody. If it is him. And then you think, whoever takes over the Ireland job, his first game is England. It's England at home. With no preparation. It's incredible. This guy's our director of football. And we're going to have our next manager, if it's not going to be John O'Shea, because to be honest with you, I would just give it to John O'Shea, by the way. Just give it to him. The next manager is going to go in with no preparation, and it's going to be England at home. Fierce derby, I suppose, in certain ways. You know, it's going to be full. It doesn't matter. You could put a traffic cone in the Ireland dugout, right? It's going to be full. It doesn't matter. It's England. And it's that rivalry, it's the players, it's the quality of the opposition, or one of the best teams in the world. It's going to be sold out. And you're going to get somebody in there and they're going to have no preparation for that. I think that's a joke. Scene ring again. So at best, the new manager's first game will be against England with 3 days working with the players. If we get an absolute hiding, how's that going to help get the fans on the side? I do not see Stephen Howe, Mark Hanum, gets the fans on his side. I do not know how he recovers from this, to be honest with you. As I said, he's given deadlines. His deadlines. He has given us deadlines. He has failed every one of those deadlines and then comes out on the FBI channel. Sorry, lads, it's going to be September. It's incredible stuff. It's incredible stuff. Jason Fitzsimmons. How you doing, Jason? Canham should have come out and faced the media and take the grilling from the media and not be doing it behind closed doors. Absolutely ridiculous. I agree with you 100%, Jason. Look, it may not be this guy's fault, Mark Hanum. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Now, I get the certain, you know, there are confidentiality agreements and there are certain ways that you do business because you want to make sure that you do business in a certain way that, you know, you don't sort of preclude, you don't have your conduct preclude you doing business with these other people. So I understand that. But desperate times. And these are desperate times. Call for desperate measures, and he should have come out and should have taken the grilling. And you know, if he came out of it and said, look guys, yeah, you know, we got it wrong and this has been educational and yeah, I shouldn't have done that, and I am very, very sorry about that. That's what he said, but he should have said it to a live press conference, and he should have taken the grilling and see how he gets on, because I think people would have said, you know what, at least you faced up to it. Stephen Ring, again, always loved James McLean, but I really can't see a side of this row. He went down to League 2, and fair play to him for getting the big payday. Absolutely deserves it, but you can't be in League 2 and expected to be called up ahead of Championship players. I agree with that, Stephen, 100%. Love James. Always gives it his all for his country. I'd probably still have him around the squad to a degree, maybe as a coach, because you know he is the consummate professional. Never mind the off-the-pitch stuff. He hasn't helped himself with certain comments and you know certain things. But in terms of his professionalism, in terms of how he conducts himself, in terms of his training, you know, his nutrition, I think he's teetotal, I believe. Don't quote me on that one. He is a fantastic example. And, you know, he's given us some fantastic memories. And fair play to him. You're right. Fair play to him. They're in League One now, but it's still the third tier. He's going to be he's 34. He'll be 35 playing in League One. He can't be expected to play. And that's not being disrespectful to him. And Remy came out at the time and said, oh, they bought League of Ireland players playing instead of me. I think that was probably happened back to Jack Byrne, which was a bit different. It was a different time and a completely different position. But yeah, I cannot see James McLean's side of that whatsoever. And look, fair play to him. He seems like a good guy. He has a lovely family. His wife, Erin, seems like a very, very nice person. And, you know, we love James McLean. We wish him nothing but the best. But, yeah, I cannot see his side in that whatsoever, Stephen. Jason Fitzsimmons, on the games in June, when will we hear back from the portal, whether successful or not? Any buses from Porto to the ground? Well, Jason, I don't know. I'll be going the media route. Whether I'll get my passes, I don't know. But anyway, I jest, I hope. I don't know. If you go on, was it Rome to Rio, the website? And it is actually, you can get a train. I don't think there's any fan buses, but there are buses. If you go on there, Jason, you can get a train from Porto. Because if you go to, I can't remember off the top of my head where the ground is. But if you go to get to that ground, the airport in the vicinity of that ground, the local airport, it's actually easier to go all the way to Porto. And then, which that's probably actually why you've done it. Sorry, why you're flying into Porto. But there are buses. There is transportation. It is a lot handier to get from Porto there. But I don't think there's any fan coaches. But there is transportation. I believe there's a train. But have a look there. Rome to Rio. It's a very good website. I use it. It's very, very good. Sebastian Knowlton. Flair situation. Woo! Thank you. Be here all week. What's he done now? What's Ric Flair done now, Sebastian? I do love a bit of wrestling, actually. A bit of crack. It's escapism from this sort of thing. David H on YouTube. How you doing, David? McLean talking nonsense. He was treated very well for someone who was playing League Two and was still getting into the squad when he shouldn't have. He was very lucky to be where he was. Yeah, I agree. I agree there, David. Yeah, 100%. I don't see his side of it. Nothing against James McLean. It's not to be disrespectful. You drop down to League Two. You have to be realistic. You have to be honest with yourself. Now, I know we weren't exactly you can be fit as you want, but there's, you know, maybe at the start, I think I said this at the time, maybe at the start of when you go into League Two, you know, the drag factor doesn't kick in a bit. But when you get further into the season, you know, you're not playing against opposition that you would be obviously playing in the Championship. You know, you're playing against a much lower opposition, and there's going to be a drag factor. You know, your game is going to go down. That's just the way it works. And Stephen Kenny, I thought, treated him very, very fair. Stephen Ring, trust the process. I wouldn't trust them to get someone a Football Manager. I'd do a better job. I do a better job than I'm a Football Manager. I'm brutal in that game. Yeah, I mean, how can you trust the process? How can you trust the process they've given us? Deadlines that they have broken. They have given us those deadlines. They have broken them. They need to be more honest. Not honest, more open. Dave McGuinness, how you doing, David? Circling back, were Hill and Canham the best candidates? Who comes in if Canham goes? Well, I mean, apparently Hill was. he was the outstanding candidate when he went through. I don't know who went for the job. Canham, I've no idea. I've no idea. You know, it's kind of funny, actually. The person that would be better at doing Canham's job would be Lee Carsley. Because I think he did something very similar for the FA. A technical director or a director of football. Someone like Lee Carsley would actually be perfect for that role. But anyway, I'm sure Nick would correct me if he was on. To be honest with you, with Hill, though, David, I think the CEO, and I must stress, this goes back to getting the right person in charge for the right period of your journey of where we want where the FAI are now to where we want them to get to, which I must say is way over there where we want to get them to. And Hill was brought in to be a diligent, boring sort of get on with it, balance the books, steady the ship, build a football pyramid on a steady ground, on a steady foundation. And then maybe we'll move it on. maybe you might take, maybe you'll be able to take this from, you know, to the next level, or maybe we'll get someone else in. We'll see what happens. And I think the perfect person for that particular part of the journey was Noel Mooney. And if you remember what happened with Shane Ross wet the bed and basically was caught with his pants down on TalkSport talking wonderfully about John Delaney on, not TalkSport, on Off the Ball. And basically, yeah, he went the other way because Noel Mooney has some form of association with John Delaney. And it's actually, do you know what? I think Noel Mooney would have been perfect. Noel Mooney goes into to the offices in Abbottstown. He opens up the doors to the PFAI. He tore down that invisible wall. He starts healing. That's what we needed. We needed healing. We needed someone to go around and heal with the fans, heal the fans' opinion on the FAI, to put together back the reputation of the FAI. And I think Noel Mooney would be perfect for that. He's very charismatic. He's very charming, Noel Mooney. I think he's a good guy. He's very charismatic. He's a good salesman. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. He's engaging. He's on, you ever see him on the Welsh FA? He got himself into a bit of trouble last year. I think it was over some comments made about the manager, Rob Page. But I think it would have been perfect for these 4 years. I think these 4 years have been wasted. We would have had somebody in there. It wouldn't be hard to balance the books of the FAI. You know, you just start running your business properly and all of a sudden that debt comes down. You weed out those ridiculous deals like the Mike Ashley one, things like that. You run your business properly. It's not hard. And then you stabilize it, you heal, and then maybe you can bring us on to the next level or you get someone else in. And I don't know who Canham comes in if he comes. You're in Newark, not going to Hungary match, but going to Portugal away purely for the trip. Meeting up with friends and having a crack. Have zero expectations of the Irish team. Don't blame me there, Newark. Might meet you since we haven't met before. Maybe I'll see you in Portugal. Mark Lynch, feels like we might be waiting for Willie Sagnol to finish up with Georgia. Yep, I go with that, Mark. That would seem, but yet again, that's not guaranteed either. Dave McGuinness, who is good in terms of football administration? Who would want it in terms of the FAI? I mean, who would want that job now? You know, the FAI seems to be this, you know, it can't seem to move away from its reputation of being a toxic brand. And it shouldn't be, really. As I said, you just run the business diligently and you're grand. Like, you know, things fall into place. You don't go, where did that money come from? Oh, I didn't see it. I didn't notice it hit my account. Paul Brown. Geez, in the whole of UK and Europe, these jokers are saying we can't appoint a manager. But that was another thing, Paul. What did you make of that? Like, you know, we want to get somebody with the right criteria. What, cheap? We're not Liechtenstein. We're a country with decent players, right? I think good players. It's a hotbed of football. The right person, the right structure, can come in there and get chin out of those lads. We're not Liechtenstein. I think it's an attractive job. I'm not saying we're world beaters, but we're not Liechtenstein. And you mean to tell me you can't get somebody in there to do that job? I said, give it to O'Shea. What do you reckon, guys? Would you give it to O'Shea now? Just so you can, look, take it. We'll support you. We'll give you a bit more time because this isn't ideal, but we'll give you every chance to succeed. We'll back you to the hilt because, you know what, we've kind of put you in this situation. John O'Shea, he's a name. He is a name. He, famous Man United player. His name is known around the world. And it would be known around the world. Champions League winner in 2008. Very good player. He seems to have an aura about him. He's young. He's Irish. He wants to do the job. And yeah, I'd imagine he won't do it for a fortune. And he'd put his heart and soul in it. He seems like a good lad as well. Just give it to him. That's my opinion. Just give it to him now. Dave McGuinness, having moved forward since Saipan Genesis, Delaney's corruption, it's 20 plus years of total utter embarrassment. After Delaney exposed the FAI as government intervention and they left Delaney's disciples there, it's a cartel and needs cleaning out. Do you agree with David? A lot of people have said they need, you know, shut it down, clear it out, and start again. I don't know about that. What the implications of that would be of a much, you know, wider scale, like whether that's possible or not. But yeah, it does need a spring clean. Certain corridors of power there need to be cleared out. Now we do have a new board, and to be fair to the board, they've acted on the John Elaine. They've acted on Jonathan Hill. You know, he shit the bed in February for the Public Accounts Committee. He completely and utterly shit the bed. And Paul Cook, I believe, is one of the good guys. I've never met him. Genuinely never met him. Believe he was the last person to ask a question at a AGM for like 20 years or whatever it was, or 10 years, when you weren't allowed to ask questions at an AGM, which was mental. When you think about it, that's crazy. What other country in the world, in the Western free world? And, you know, he was asked, he was polite about it when the Fianna Fáil TD asked him, is your confidence in John Hill, you know, do you still have it? And he's like, yeah, it's been challenged, but yeah, it's kind of still there. It's been challenged. And he's polite about it. He's not going to turn around and say, yeah, the guy's a dick. You know, but they have acted. I think, and this is my personal opinion, I think that, that was the final nail in the coffin, and I think they went away. Do you know what? We need to we need to get rid of this guy, and we need to agree financial package. And apparently the financial settlement, it's a 7-year, because his contract would have taken him up to 7 years in total. So it's a big payment. It is a big payment. But they've been saving money on the managerial front. So they got the money to pay for it. On the managerial way to be saving that money. But yeah, I think as well, David, and I did say about Irish football being a perfect storm with corruption, with government intervention, meddling, you know, Bertie Ahern. Oh, no, don't build Aircon Park, lads. Imagine if Aircon Park was built now. You would have a 50,000-seater stadium probably in the middle of Saggart. You would have a town built. I've never been to Saggart, so I don't know. I'm probably talking out my arse. I normally do. And you would have a new stadium there, probably a new town centre, a hub, a Lewis line, you'd think, or a railway line going out to it. It'd be great. You'd have hotels. It'd be fantastic. You'd build a whole place from scratch. It'd be brilliant. And the FAI would have their own stadium, and they would have their own revenue stream. And you probably would have money going into the League of Ireland now. You would have concerts. They were going to have the Corrs open up that stadium, Aircon Park. We had Bernard O'Byrne, the former CEO. Now, of course, he met his own kind of controversial finish with Basketball Ireland. We won't get into that. But as a CEO, as the FAI, I thought he was very good, or whatever. It wasn't CEO at the time. It was a different title. And we could have had Aircon Park, and they would have had their own revenue stream, and they would have owned it. And they probably would have gone into debt. But you know what? They would have, you know, that would have been nearly 30 years ago, and we'd be further down the line. It's just mad, isn't it, when you think about it? Ronan Tilly, how you doing, Ronan? Give the job to O'Shea, yeah. For a campaign, appointing someone new just before a fresh campaign starts won't work. We kept Kenny for too long, no longer an attractive job. Paul Brown, if it's true the board have actually gated Hill unofficially because of this manager shit show and his appearance at the recent PAC, then I have some hope, some minuscule. I think that's important, and I did touch on it, Paul. I think that is important. We have to remember that the board have probably turned around and gone, no, hold on a second. And that is hope. That is hope that they're watching. Because when you see what went on with the previous fella, you know, this is Borgham. No, you're not for me. So they are taking action, and hopefully we get the next one right. Dave McGuinness. Read Duffy's book if you haven't. Wasn't any better in the 60s and 70s and the 80s and 90s with Delaney Sr. It was the same corruption, allegedly. Allegedly, that is your opinion, Mr. McGuinness. Don't want to get sued. Chris Lacey, now they're saving all that money for 10 months between last November and next September, where it's probably for going on the payout to John Hill. Nuri Nurek, three didn't renew the sponsorship because the FAI board became so toxic. Given the current clusterfuck there, can't help thinking Sky must be having second thoughts. I think, well, yet again, it's not hard. It's not hard. Run your business diligently, and it takes care of itself. You know, you got the sponsor of a national team, and I don't know the figures of what Ireland shirts get sold, but fair play to Sky. They backed the women's team. That did well. Now, a couple of issues, obviously, is the fact that, you know, you can't buy the shirt without the sponsor on it. There should be an option there. Even the pro version has a sponsor on it, which I think was an own goal. But then, of course, they're paying, apparently, I read somewhere, €1.8 million per year. But yeah, it if you have the FPI running diligently and you sell the shirt diligently and you make it as accessible as possible, excuse me, as accessible as possible, then they're going to make a fortune. They get their money back. But yet again, it's not. We're in a situation where, you know, we have an interim CEO, we have an interim manager, and we have an interim communications director, a marketing director, I believe. They'll probably give it a Hill. David Blackett, are there any repercussions for Jonathan Hill? He didn't do what he was being paid for and just walks off scot-free. Great job if you can get it. No, he'll just he'll get a golden handshake. He hasn't done anything illegal per se, but he fumbled the ball. He shit the bed. He absolutely shit the bed, Jonathan Hill. And I think in the end, he wasn't arsed. My opinion, he wasn't arsed. He didn't, you know, he didn't care. You know, here's a guy who was supposed to move over, couldn't move over. I was actually explaining this to somebody today at work. An English guy who's a football fan. He was like, what? I was telling him, read Champagne Football. Trust me, you think it was made up. And read my contribution. And, you know, he completely shit the bed. He wasn't arsed in the end. And you can see that. And they've got to pay him off. I mean, the fact that he didn't move over. He was hired during COVID time, so he couldn't move over. Fair enough. And he promised to move over. How are you supposed to do that job? You cannot do that job in Zoom. You have to be there. You have to be out meeting people. There was healing that had to be done with the FAI. This is what I've been saying. That's why Noel Mooney would have been perfect. He would have gone out there and he would have met people. He would have gone out to people. Very approachable. He came to Risk London. And I'm sure there's people that are watching on this and remember that. And he talked about the whole Brian Kerr thing. And he was very honest to me. And he's very approachable. And I told him who I was and said, we'll talk about it. I'll give you an interview. And he gave me an interview in, he gave me an interview in Tbilisi 5 years ago, day before the match in the boring 0-0 draw against Georgia in the team hotel. You know, he was approachable. He wanted to, you know, he wanted to reach out to the fans. John Hill never did that. He didn't care. He didn't care, in my opinion. You know, you never saw him. You'd see him repost stuff on Twitter or, oh, yeah, great job, guys. You know, it's like, no, mate, you're in charge of a brand that for years just has been encircled in corruption. Not corruption. Don't want to get myself in too much trouble, but circulated in controversy was the word I was looking for. In controversy, and sorry, little bunny is. She's angry about it too, Eileen is. Has to listen to me talk about it all day. But, you know, you're dealing with an organization that's embroiled in controversy. It's often at odds with its own fans, with its own stakeholders. Like, we're stakeholders. Like, I'm a stakeholder. You're a stakeholder. Martin's a stakeholder, and he's always at odds with them, trying to get stuff done. He's the chairman of Risk London. And, you know, you got to go out there and heal. You got to go out and talk to people and, you know, let them know, look, we get it. We hold our hands up, but it's going to get better now. May not be today, may not be tomorrow, but it's going to get better. And you got to get people on board with that. We need people moving in the same direction, but he never did that. You know, he probably worked away diligently and he probably added in a few KPI indicators and key performance indicators, I should say, and service license agreements, SLAs, all these brilliant buzzwords. You know, where was the leadership? David Beckham, Beckett says, same as Robbie Keane. Great job if you can get it. Yeah, I mean, that's a whole other thing. Robbie Keane, you never know. He might be the next Ireland manager. Dave McGuinness again. I don't think it's Willie Sagnol. Hasn't he already commented that he's never spoken to the FAI? If Georgia do okay, they want him there for the World Cup campaign. And he's also going to attract attention from clubs. The Irish job is an attractive option. I think it's Eton. I don't know, David. I thought it was Eton, but Eton would be in by now. I don't think there's anybody. Like, I don't think it's anybody at all. Michael Hennessy, I love the pod, guys. Gone beyond a joke now. Thank you, Michael. Not about the joke bit, but about the pod. No appointment until September. No time with the team equals shite results. 100%, Michael. Thank you so much for listening, by the way. It has gone beyond a joke, hasn't it? And it's infuriating. I'm not trying to do, what's his name, Goldbridge or your man off AFTV or Arsenal Fan TV. Like, this is genuine. Like, you know, we're quite level-headed here. We'll let you have your say. We'll let you do your thing. But I'm fucking angry about this, because for weeks and weeks and weeks, I've been trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, look, they have to do that and they have to make sure. But, you know, I did say at the time, I don't mind if there's an interim manager in March, but it has to be the right guy. It has to be the right person. You know, come April, because, you know, I believe they're going to have somebody up their sleeve in April. It better be somebody good, or it better make sense. Youth or Mick or somebody, you know, somebody, even Roy would have made sense. John O'Shea would make sense to a degree. But that would have added serious questions. It was John O'Shea, because it's like, okay, you didn't have anybody. And then it turns out you didn't have anyone anyway. I know, it was just one of those, Christ, wow, it actually happened. People were saying, I was like, no, couldn't be like that. Actually happened. John Murphy, looks like it won't be Eton as you thought. Yeah. Who know do you think it'll be? I know it's almost impossible to pick. I think Jonathan McKinstry is interesting. Jonathan McKinstry. Who's Jonathan McKinstry? McKinstry. I'm not sure who you mean by that, John. Is that a bit of an auto type? To answer your question, though, I don't know. I really, really don't know. There's nobody. It's either they can't afford anybody decent, or they can't afford anybody decent enough that will take it under conditions, and that would be, here's your coaching staff, because we can't afford to pay your extra coaching staff. That's what I think, and it's just pure conjecture. Keane Greeley, the FAI should have a raffle with the sale of the Hungary tickets. Whoever wins gets to manage a team against Hungary. Make more sense of what we've been seeing. Dave McGuinness, John O'Shea was in contention. He'd have it by now. He's clearly the very last resort from the FAI. That's the thing, David. Like, and I think the way, because it's dragged on, they should have announced him. They should have given it to him. I said, you know what? Things have changed. We're going to back him. So look, it's not ideal. And I know people are going to say, oh, well, he wasn't our first choice. He may not be our first choice, but he wasn't like too far down the list. You know what I mean? And people go, okay, fair enough. You know, you're going to put a bit of bullshit on it, but you're not going to try and totally bullshit us. You're not going to say, yeah, listen. See, like 20 people turn it down and said, okay, John, do you want it? And he goes, yeah, I'm like, why not? You know, I'm nothing better to be done. You know, you're not going to say that. I'm not saying it would have been the situation, but you turn around and go, look, things have changed. People have let us down. You know, we don't understand that. That's the thing. We're football people. You'd get the odd people that go, wah, 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 you know, this is ridiculous. But you turn around and go, I understand that. Okay, we'd be fair enough to say, all right, we understand that. We see where it's gone. Why has it, you know, have you explained it and he came out to the media, did a good job? Okay, yeah, the people would go, they go, okay, all right, but, you know, but all right, we'll see how it goes. And they support them. Stephen Ring, as bad as no manager, no sponsor, and all that shite is, they are the board who brought in bloody Castori. I don't think this board did, Stephen. I think that was the previous board brought that in. I think that came in the back end of last year. It was a different board that's done that. But listen, yet again, they offered a ridiculous sum of money. I don't know the figure. I really don't know the figure. If someone out there knows the figure, wants to have a crack at it, let me know. But apparently they offered like an eye-watering amount. David H. again. I actually thought Canham, Hill and Bonner were very savvy guys before this process began. Now I actually think they're clowns from Duffy Circus. Couldn't organise a piss up in a brewery. Well, I don't know about Bonner. And I'm not like doing, oh, he's a legend, leave him alone. I don't know. I've met him. He's a nice man. I don't know his involvement in this process. But I suppose Canham, Hill and Bonner. I mean, Bonner will have to take the blame for this. Not all of it, but you'll have to take a share of the blame. Because apparently, from what we heard, it was Canham, Hill, and Bonner that were doing the interviews. And yeah, it's not good enough, David. It's not good enough at all. They need to come out and talk to people. You know, you've got season ticket renewals, and yeah. That's it. Like, ridiculous. The whole situation is that 45 minutes later, after I watch his video, I get an email saying get your tickets for Hungary. I know, that's automated, because trust me, I get it. You automate these things and you put them out. That was, I'm sure, done well in advance before Canham made his announcement. But it's just the ridiculousness of the situation. John Murphy, if the FAI eventually get the right man, I would understand all this. But if they appoint someone like Bruce or O'Shea, which they could have appointed this week, it'll look farcical. That's what I said, John. I said, he had it gone with O'Shea from the beginning. I would have gone, okay. I said, oh, really? But I'd understand it. It would make sense. As long as it makes sense, I don't mind. Don't mean to keep having a go at him, but poor Steve Staunton did not make sense at all when you look at it. John O'Shea would make sense to a degree. Paul Brown, at this stage, is going to be David O'Leary. He was offered, I think, you know, he missed out on that. He really missed out on that, David O'Leary. Dave McGuinness, I was never on board with the idea of being the FAI and starting over. It's always been personnel issue, but a season ticket holder slash match attending the League of Ireland and with Ireland and having a family member involved with the Irish setup, there was never been more noise about the clubs walking away. The FAI has never been close to administrative collapse, easy for me to say, and that's a personnel Delaney issue. Yeah, that's another one, though, lads. On that one, there was talk about the League of Ireland clubs. Just talk about maybe forming their own thing and going their own way and going away from the FAI. Could you blame them? Could you blame them? I don't think the FAI are in any situation to run the League of Ireland. And the League of Ireland is on fire at the moment. Well, literally, with the flares. But no, Deaglin, if you're watching, he's gonna bombard me with WhatsApp messages. No, but like, it is, it's cooking, like it's doing really well. But you know, we got a window of opportunity here now for the League of Ireland. There's interest in it, so we have to capitalize on that. You have to, you know, the momentum's there, so capitalize, investment, money going in. Finn Harps, I think they have floodlights, correct me if I'm wrong. They had floodlights built from money that was given to them by Sky. So when Sky started the whole Premier League thing in 92, they had to pay League of Ireland clubs money because they're going to start showing games regularly on a Sunday. And that was going to destroy at 4 o'clock. And that was going to destroy, that was going to go in conflict with League of Ireland games. So League of Ireland games moved to a Friday night. So they had to pay for floodlights for some of the grounds, give them a few bob. And give him a sweetener. Sky did. I didn't know that until I read the book. Brilliant book, Who Stole Her Game? By Deira. It's a great book. Have a read of that. But I was like, wow. But like, Finn Harps have floodlights that don't work anymore because they're from the 90s. They haven't been changed for 30 years. So we need facilities. And it needs money. The FAI haven't got the money. And let's be honest, they haven't got the wherewithal to do it. And I think if another entity can come along and they can do a better job and it has to be better, then yeah, why not? Dave McGuinness, Delaney still has a lot of support in the FAI and Irish football. Other bastards, a lot of them, says Dave McGuinness. Don't ever say we don't let you have your say in this podcast, folks. We are for the fans, by the fans. Dave McGuinness, we're clean. Far, far better servants in the 70s, 80s, 90s. Got far quieter sends off. He needs to shut up and enjoy his Indian summer in his club career. I agree with that. He does need to just get on with it there. Jace Fitzsimmons, we'll look into that. Thanks, Dave. That's Rio to Rome or Rome to Rio. Flying Dublin to Stansted, then a flight from London to Porto. Worked out much cheaper. Much cheaper than flying directly to the other thing. Yeah, I'll be over there. You know, do say hello if you do see it. We will be hopefully live on the ground. But do check that out. John Buckley, how you doing, John? By the time he's made permanent, John O'Shea will have loads of management experience. Yeah. Dave McGuinness, given Cano's background, I struggle to see how he's qualified to be a director of football of the National Association. Remember, he got a bit blinded by the whole, oh my God, he's in the Premier League. It does feel a bit like that, you know, like he's in the Premier League. Wow. But look at this guy. Carl Freeman says, absolutely not. To what, Carl? What are we? Have I missed something? Dave McGuinness, don't be talking to me about Shane Ross. What an absolute clusterfuck that was. Dave McGuinness, no Mini was the man. Yep. There's no dramas in the WFA with a similar league to ours and a national team of similar resources. He would have been spotted. I think he would have. I think it would have been perfect for where we were at. He would have brought us forward and he would have healed. He would have healed the association. He would have got engagement. We probably would have had him on the podcast here. We already had him on Lance and Roar back 5 years ago before we really grew into anything, before we did the streams. We had him on there. He was interim CEO. He was on Twitter unblocking people. I got to him on his Facebook page and said, I'm very sorry, Noel. I'm very new to this. I don't know how this works. I don't have an email address, blah, blah, blah. Harriet, this is what I do. And he gave back to me, gave me his FEI email address, gave me his UEFA email address. That is how approachable that man was. And he was the CEO. He was the guy that ran football for those few months. Neary Norick, as John Delaney's Twitter burner account commented on Hill's departure, I don't know. Excuse me, but if you're watching, let us know. Come back. I can't do it now because I'm on my own. Glenn Forbes, how you doing, Glenn? Hey, Dave. How you doing, Glenn? It is just adding insult to further injury by not giving the job to John O'Shea at this point. Or is it just adding insult to further injury by not giving John O'Shea the job at this point? I think you're right. What was said in the previous pod, that is insulting to offer him the interim again. I do think it is. Yeah, I think they should just give it to him. If they don't have anyone lined up, give it to him. Let him have a go at it. Just support him. People will get behind him. He's smooth in press conferences. He seemed to be more tactically savvy than Stephen Kenny. First game was very good. Second game, not so much. But, you know, that's fine. That's okay. You know, I wasn't, you know, from what I saw in those two games, I wasn't like, oh, my God, give him the job. But I wasn't like, oh, Jesus, no. But if you're no one else, you're going to need somebody who's going to see this as a passion project because you don't have the money. And clearly the clout or the wherewithal to get anybody that's top class. Unless we get a sugar daddy comes in, which will happen under Trapattoni when they were like, no, we can't afford him. We can't afford that. Do me a favor, we can't afford that. And all of a sudden, oh, by the way, Dennis O'Brien says he'll pay for his wages. Trapattoni it is, so it does happen. Glenn Forbes. I agree with Dave McGuinness. I'd be for starting a new soccer organization at this point. Well, I don't know. I'd have to see what the implications for that would be. I don't know, really. I wouldn't be 100% against it. As a well, I was stout. No, don't do it. But now I'm like, oh, I don't know anymore. Irish Jedi, do you think the delay until September brings any new names into the picture?
There's always a cycle, but it'll always bring names. It'll just bring more rumors, if I'm honest with you, Jedi.
Unless we get sugar daddy, our criteria isn't going to change. It's like when you used to get the old computer games and you put like, this is what I can afford. And, you know, you just you hit refresh, you go back and refresh. In the old managerial games, it's not going to change. The budgetary requirements are not going to change unless we get a sugar daddy, unless we get a massive injection of cash. And I don't even know if that would be allowed under the memorandum of understanding
with Sport Ireland. I don't even know what the does anyone know what the complications are, or the possible implications with that? Is that not a little bit kabuki-ish, as a wrestling term for you, to do that, like to get in a sugar daddy? Because that's the only way it's going to change. So I don't see, it'll probably bring in more rumors, but I don't see how it will change. It'll bring in any legitimate names. Stephen Ring, I really don't see the point in O'Shea taking the games on June if he said he wasn't allowed to pick the squad or the tactics for March. It's poison chalice for him, really. That's the thing, Stephen. And yet again, we're just wasting more time. If you had a manager in February, he gets a look at the squad, goes, okay. Or even you have a manager now, and John O'Shea picked a nice safe squad. Wasn't his squad. He just picked a nice safe squad. Diligent. You know, don't cause any problems. It's a maintenance squad, as I believe was the phrase I used. He said he would have picked a different squad if it was his squad. But you wouldn't expect him to pick because one move could end someone's career. Like, he goes, well, look, Seamus Coleman, boom, sorry, we're going to keep you out of this one. Seamus Coleman might resign, might retire, or maybe not. That's just an example, by the way. I'm not just picking one out of the air. I'm not saying Seamus Coleman would retire from Ireland. But, you know, one wrong move could, you know, finish someone's Ireland career or go, look this. You don't know. So he picked a nice, safe squad. And then you'd like to think that whoever was supposed to be unveiled in April, I'd love to know who that was if it wasn't Sagnol. I can't see being anyone other than Sagnol. But he said he wasn't approached by the FA, so I don't know. And then, you know, that person would look at that squad and go, okay, how did he play? All right, fair enough. You know, and you get a little flavour for it, and then you meet the lads, and then you get them all in for a summer camp. I mean, if they get a summer camp, who takes a summer camp? O'Shea? I mean, you're just wasting more time. You're just wasting more time. These lads need to be implemented in a system. They need to get to work straight away. We've gone out of the last three qualifying campaigns at the first hurdle, pretty much. There's confidence issues there. You know, we were rebuilding a bit under Kenny, then it all just went to pieces. So there's a confidence issue. This guy has to go in there and restore all of that. He needs to get to work. We're just wasting time. Jimmy Shell, why get rid of a manager if known to take over? We're an absolute embarrassment around the football world now. To be honest with you, Jimmy, I think it was more to do with probably the confidence they would have got Lee Carsley. And look, we were very much in favour of Stephen Kenny. We supported him. We talked. I've many rows with people on this podcast. Which is actually part of the Roar Faithful, and that's good. We can argue on this podcast and still remain friends, and that's what it's all about. But I think Stephen Kenny had to go, first of all, but I think it was a money thing. You know, let's contract run out, we don't pay him off, and then we'll get somebody else in. We have probably Lee Carsley lined up. No. Okay. And then, you know, they moved on and God knows where they went and who they asked. But I think they were just overly confident. And that's the thing. I think they've been overly confident. Mark Cannon has hit me. So I've never met him. I have heard that he is quite impressive. Like, he does come across as somebody very competent at his job. Could it be a case of somebody very competent who seriously just messed this up, make complete balls of it because he's never done this type of work before? Making promises, basically writing checks he can't cash, you know, this deadline, that deadline that we keep missing, doesn't mean he's a bad guy, but you're like, you haven't impressed me so far, mate, or any of the Ireland fans, so we'll need to, you know, jury's out on you, kind of thing. But I think that was it. Like, he strikes me as somebody overconfident. That's why I thought, no, he's got to have something lined up here. You know, he's been so confident. And you go, no, he actually doesn't. So maybe that's it. That's why he let Stephen Kenny go. I mean, you're not going to get Stephen Kenny on as an interim manager. He had to be replaced, Jimmy. You know, that at the end of the day, he did have to go, Stephen Kenny. It had gone. It had gone the previous November. So you're not going to get him on an interim basis, are you? So, Irish Jedi, the process has been a mess, but the only bit of sense that you can make of it that they want Sagnol post Euros, a statement from Cannon reference international experience again. Yeah, what international experience has Mark Cannon got? Do you know what I mean? he's on about you have to have international experience. But what? He's no international experience, Mark Adam, unless I'm completely wrong on that one, off the top of my head. He was the head coach of the Premier League, which I don't really know what they do, because how do you get a head coach of Premier League when you got probably two of the best managers in the world right now, with Klopp and Pep Guardiola? Like, I don't know. I believe Canham, Hill and Bonner got a right bollocking from the board of a total mess with still no manager. That's probably why they're getting involved in recruitment now. Could be. And, you know, look, it could be a case of as well, David, and to our Roar faithful out there, that, you know, maybe Hill was hindering the process. Maybe that's unfair to Hill. But maybe they feel a better chance now of getting actually somebody in now, somebody better. Without Hill there, because it was the three of those, apparently, those three that were doing the interviews. So I don't know. Glenn Forbes, so what's the criteria? Is this like what I learned in primary school about joining the Red Branch Knights, having to run through the forest without making a sound and shit? Obviously, if the criteria is putting off so many potential candidates, that might be the problem. Yeah, and I think what affects the criteria, there's that word again, interim criteria, buzz, buzz, buzz. fucking buzzwords everywhere. I think the money affects the criteria, obviously, you know, like, but yet again, it's gonna have to be a passion project or somebody seriously desperate for work. It's gonna have to be somebody at the very start of the journey or somebody at the very end of the journey, and that person at the end of the journey was somebody that probably wasn't very good, you know. Like, look at the money we had to spend on Trapattoni, and he was, you know, a top manager, albeit 10 years too late, but he was still a top manager. You ain't going to get that unless you pay top dollar. So, yeah, a candidate, like, the criteria is the issue. We don't exactly know what the criteria is. He needs to talk to us about that. At the end of the day, they are a public body, the FAI. They are a public body. They need to talk to us. They need to be more open about this. Dave McGuinness, again, is there not any concerns that John O'Shea could be another Staunton? After Stan's appointment, he was a centurion hero, played in every World Cup, ever qualified, and had an amazing career as a player, and his captaincy of Poole, Villa and Ireland was spoke of. Usually he failed and his managerial career never recovered, and he's been a lowly scout and occasional pundit since. Had he had a run in clubs as a coach and come across the ranks, through the ranks like Hughton, for example, he could have had a good managerial career, and that tapers off there, David. That's the most we've got on that one with a comment. I don't think he is a Stan. I think he looks like a manager and he talks like a manager, and he doesn't look like somebody in the Phoenix Park. That's a paraphrase on a Dunphy quote. Steve Staunton never fit, David. He never did, and you know, he was one of the lads. And he was a bit like a teenager in charge. Lovely man, great player, and he should be remembered for that. But John O'Shea looks like a manager. He looks, yeah, you know, he's very good with the media. But yeah, look, two games do not mean, you know, we beat Sweden 3-0 in Stan's first game. Everyone thought, that's it. That was it. You know, we've cracked and now we're going to win the World Cup. And then we lost to Chile, and then we got destroyed by Holland, and you know, it unfolded. But I think with the current situation, would you rather be in the situation we're in now, or would you rather them just give it to John O'Shea and we just move on from this and let the man get on with the job and see what he does? Glenn Forbes, is there a chance of getting Noel Mooney back, Dave? I don't see why not, other than the FAI would obviously have to pay money for Noel Mooney. Noel Mooney is very passionate about Irish football. I haven't spoken to Noel for a very, very long time. And from, you know, he follows the pod, so he's probably watching, or somebody might tag him and tell him to watch this, but he does follow the pod. I'd love to have him back. I'd imagine it'd be a case of the FAI would have to pay some form of compensation, but I think it'd be worth it. I think it'd be worth getting someone like Noel Mooney back in. I think it would heal. Irish football is so fractured at the moment. Like, the national team's been running to the ground. It's just, there's no buzz anymore. There's no interaction with the fans. They don't speak to the fans. I think Noel Mooney, he tried it in the short term. Like, he was already trying to heal wounds, and I think that's what we need right now. But I'd imagine he'd, you know, people say, I think somebody said to me before, yeah, what he wanted. What he wanted in 2019, and you know, in a way, they were in a more financially worse position. 20 million quid more of a worse position. We could, like, the team is in a worse position than it was when he wanted a job 5 years ago. So I don't know. Maybe he doesn't want it. Maybe he's happy in Wales. But I'd imagine if they made an offer to him. My gut instinct, I don't know, I haven't spoken to him, but my gut instinct would be that he'd probably take it on because the challenge. And I remember one thing he said to me in Tbilisi. He said, I know what needs to be done for Irish football, and I can see it. And I just want that chance, because Shane Ross wouldn't meet him. That's the thing. I think if Shane Ross had met Noel, he would have changed his mind. Very charismatic, very charming guy, good guy as well. But he wouldn't meet him. He just refused point blank to meet Noel Mooney. Gee, how you doing? With a lovely picture of Michael Collins, family hero. A lot of family from Cork. Minimum effort, maximum payday. The FEI got played with Hill's appointment, thinking he would have a long list of contacts and potential suitors. Well, we've got it here again. The FEI got played with his appointment. I reckon Hill hindered the recruitment process. Says G. And he continues, give it to Keane for the buzz rather than O'Shea. Just on your first point there, yeah, I mean, the FAI clearly got played. But I mean, to be fair, when you get somebody coming in from the FA, you think, oh, wow, you know, the FA is a machine when it comes to their coaching, when it comes to that. Now, in terms of how they're being absolutely rogered at the moment by the Premier League, that's a whole different thing. But when it comes to like their coaching structures and that sort of thing, and you know, they're very, very good. And you look at how good England are at the moment, and that didn't happen overnight. George's Park, that sort of stuff, you think, okay, maybe we need a little bit of that over here. But he wasn't the guy, Jonathan Hill. You know, he didn't move over. You know, we know what happened there. But yeah, and your whole thing with Roy Keane, do you know what? If you're talking about Roy, I imagine you're probably a courtroom with Michael Collins on your profile picture. But you know what? Roy Keane would still make sense. It'll be a disaster. I think it would end in disaster. It'd be great crack. But it would, short term, you know, you could try and sell it to the people. We put him on a great coaching staff. We're giving him all the tools. You give him, you know, just copy and paste what you say about O'Shea. You do it with Roy Keane. But, you know, he's a leader. He's a world name, blah, blah, which he would be. He's a United legend. Joint most successful Irish player of all time with Dennis Irwin, I believe. I stand to be corrected if you tell me something else. And it would make sense. It would bring the buzz back. It'd end in tears because he'd row with somebody, but it'd be fucking great fun. Glenn Forbes. Is Matt still triggered over Jurgen Klopp, or has he calmed down? He wasn't very happy. I mean, I was watching the game today on the telly, and Coventry, Jesus, they were robbed. I mean, it was offside, but like, you know, I thought he had it either way. And I said to him, and Bill Gain, if he's watching, he was like, oh, he's a United fan, we're going to win the cup. And I was like, listen, don't fucking try and tell me you're happy about that. Don't even go there. It was a shit show. But yeah, probably still trying to get. Have you ever been to Wembley? He's probably still trying to fucking get back from Wembley. I repeat there about the Roy Keane thing. Dave McGuinness, Hughton, of all the recent links, is the only one to not publicly state he is out, or for his reps to say he is out. He wanted a break after the AFCON, and he may well still be on that break, which may mean he is in later. Not implausible. It's not implausible at all, David. His reps didn't say it, but Brian Kerr, who obviously worked with Chris Hughton and probably has a relationship there, was probably felt very hard done by when they were released in 05. Rightfully so, in my opinion. Although it was handled poorly. He did say that, no, he didn't want the job, Brian Kerr. So maybe that's a rep, so to speak. Irish Jedi. He said it on Irish Virgin Media. Oh, will Brian Kerr come back as well? Hey. Can he feel good coming? Irish Jedi again. As Irish fans, we should remember the funding for infrastructure comes from the government, not the FEI. While the FEI need to present a better package for funding, I feel politicians get off too lightly. That's very true. Listen, at the end of the day, we've said it here. I'm not having to go to GAA. I'm not having to go to the IRFU. But there are people in the corridors of power and the powers that be in Ireland who hate football, or shall we, just for the purpose of this conversation, soccer. I do hate that word. And you have to go and make sure that you give them, you have to have an airtight argument. Listen, and yet again, it's a fucking easy argument. Football, or soccer, is the most popular sport on the island. Sorry, GAA, but it is. It's the most played sport on the island. And it's been poorly run. It's been poorly funded. We should be getting that betting tax in there. I'm not saying that the Greyhound lads shouldn't. You know, whatever. We should be getting more. High tide lifts all boats kind of thing. I'm not saying like you siphon up money from those lads over there or anything like that. But football is so poorly funded. You have a fully functioning, as I said before, you have a fully functioning League of Ireland with the right infrastructure in about 15 to 20 years. That makes money. That is a gold mine for this country. You can create a brand, a franchise. Like, you really can go places. You have people playing, you know, you'll have people like 100 million quid before COVID was going over per year. I think it was like £200 million actually was going over to the British economy from Ireland. Watching Premier League games. You could keep that money in this country, in Ireland, says the fan living in London. But do you know what I mean? Like, they're, you have to go to them with a watertight argument because it's an open goal. But they keep fumbling. Like, the one chance that he had to have a conversation about getting £500 million, fucking Jonathan Hill shows up with a fully redacted email about his holidays. And that was it. Done. They never even got, I was in the shower, right, listening to that. And I hadn't even dried myself. It's like 15 minutes into it. I had it on the phone and had the volume up. Just listening to it and going, 15 minutes in, your man goes, now you come here, like it just feels like you're coming here, you're not being honest with us. 15 minutes in, oh, well, that's it. They never even got to speak about it. So they've just made it easy for these guys not to give them the money. That's what annoys me. Dave McGuinness, I don't include Bonner in that. His intentions are genuine towards Irish football. Met him several times and he wants nothing but the best for Irish football. He's accountable to a point in this, but it's not his fault someone says no to the role. He's not the one setting deadlines. That I agree with. I'm not. He does have to take a bit of blame. Because, you know, if people are turning it down and he's part of the interview process, why is that? You know, that may not be Pat Bonner, I think, or Paddy Bonner. Why am I saying Pat Bonner? Paddy Bonner. You know, he was very well respected within UEFA. He was very well respected in the FAI before Delaney got rid of him. You know, so he does seem to be quite a diligent, competent executive. He has to take some blame on that. Not all of it, though. And you're right, he's not the one setting deadlines. We know who that is. Wellesley Donoghue. How are you doing, Wellesley? Is it true that the incoming manager will have to reside in Ireland? If so, is that not madness and you turn off to a potential manager? I heard that Wellesley. I heard that, but then he also came out and said, you've heard it has to be 4-3-3. You have to reside in Ireland. You have to have our coaches, whatever. And then he came out. Kahneman said, do you remember when he unveiled John O'Shea as the interim manager? He said, you don't have to, you want the best person for the job and you don't have to play an absolute style of football. You don't have to play this, you don't have to do, you know, he kind of was picking apart or unfolding what had previously come out. So I don't really know with this guy, but I imagine it'd be madness to have somebody reside in Ireland when your players won't all be playing in Ireland. Not one of them will be playing in Ireland. Glenn Forbes, what's the book title of the Jonathan Hill era be? Can't be Champagne Football 2, Buckfast Football, Aldi Wine Football, Tuborg Football, Dutch Gold Football, maybe. Or
I'm sure I could think of something better. Nuri Nurik, Noel Mooney came to Risk London meeting, claiming Ireland can win the World Cup. That League of Ireland teams should be playing in modern 10,000 capacity stadium, and Sky should be paying millions for League of Ireland rights. I remember that. I was there. Yes, he did say that. He did. I can absolutely confirm that he did say that. But you know what? That was his blue sky thinking. That's what you're aiming for. You know, obviously he says that he's not going to say that, you know, we're going to do it overnight, but that's what he's aiming for. We're aiming for the World. I mean, we had teams in the past that could have won the World Cup and the European Championships. And that's not an exaggeration to say that, or ridiculous, but that's what we should be aiming for. And look, there's Shamrock Rovers playing in a 10,000 seater stadium. Shelburne have had to they sold out their derby against Bowes. They've had to add seats to Tolka Park. I've said about Irish football, they don't need an audience. They don't need customers. Customers are there. They need a shop floor. And we haven't had a shop floor in Ireland ever. Not really. Especially for the League of Ireland, not since the 60s. Until now. They need a shop floor. Don't need customers. They're already there. Irish Jedi, I would actually rather hit rock bottom and expose where we are as an association and make a Hollywood Roy Keane appointment that would only satisfy sponsors and casual supporters to paper over cracks. Yeah, I get it. I understand that. I totally see where you're coming from. Strip it all back, peel back the onion, lift the bonnet up. All these other buzzwords. That comes from working in... I used to work as a transport manager back in Wimbledon, crossing the old Plough Lane. And it's no longer there. Well, it's a new Plough Lane. It used to be a gym, actually. And remember, the machines were made. West Germany, leather straps, like, hadn't been changed. Like, leather, everything leather. Anyway, and I remember I was a transport manager. I used to deal with used car people. Oh, my God, biggest bullshit as ever. And, yeah, hit you with buzzwords. Buzz, 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 buzz. But, yeah, I do see what you're saying there, though, Irish Jedi. Yeah, you know, expose it all. Strip it right back. You know, Simon Jordan says the best form of disinfecting the sunlight. Strip it all back, expose it, clear it out. Jimmy Shell, any news on Anthony Barry, guys? I'm going to throw a name in the ever-expanding hat. The Ipswich manager, Kieran McKenna, has a young footballing team. Sure, why not? Chances are, well, Anthony Barry, no, he's going to the Euros with Portugal. Bayern Munich are in the semi-finals of the Champions League. He is leaving at the end of the year, but he is going to the Euros of Portugal. And Kieran McKenna, I'd take him. He ain't going to get him. He could be managing a Premier League team next season. They'll probably get relegated, but he's still going to be a Premier League manager, and he's done a fabulous job. So it ain't going to happen. Keen Greeley, I can't believe no one wants the job. If they deliver Sagnol after the Euros, do we owe Canham an apology? Not really. No, I don't think we owe him an apology. Like, George have done well, but Keen, if you look at the results, I don't have them in front of me, because I can't do it, because obviously I'm speaking to you guys, which I'm loving, by the way, and thank you for your engagement. I know it's not always ideal with just myself on. But I know the results weren't brilliant. The pathway, I'm going to sound like a complete tool, but bear with me. Because I think they won their Nations League, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, please do. Because they won their Nations League, that pathway was created for them to have a playoff. They beat Luxembourg in the first game, and to be fair, Luxembourg went from having a goal disallowed, having a goal scored, to being disallowed and the player sent off, and it just fell to pieces. And that was at home. That's from the Nations League, and they were in League C, I believe. And then they went and played Greece at home. Greece were dreadful, and it went to penalties. A fair play to them. Look, that's the pathway. You can only beat what's in front of you. But what I'm trying to say to you is, I don't believe, I could be wrong, their Euro campaign was particularly good. I think they got a lot of bad results. But it's just, the Euros make it, if you have your shit in order, your UEFA make it very easy for you to qualify for Euros. But they had Luxembourg and Greece.
Nothing against Luxembourg. They were very Luxembourg were so unlucky. They were so unlucky. Luxembourg battered Georgia for a few minutes, and in those few minutes, missed one chance. And then the other one, they had a goal, great goal, but actually it got called back for handball. Goal disallowed, and the player was sent off. So, no, I don't think we do. And here's the thing, Keane, as well. So I'm going through the weeds here, and I've got a lot of questions to get through, and I will try and hurry it up because I'm going over here. But the thing with that is, as well, I mean, it always could have happened. It always could have happened. Don't make promises you can't cash. It's a playoff. You know, he still said it, didn't he? He still said early April. He still said it after the playoff. He said it before the playoff. I'm wrong on that one. But I think he said it. Did it come out after? Sorry, the first playoff, the one again, the semi final against Luxembourg. You know, actually, did he? When was the last? Can anyone out there find when the last time he said that was going to be early April? Because I think that would answer that if it was Sagnol. Because we said it after the whole thing against Greece. And he goes, no, it's still going to be early April, but contractual stuff, then it wouldn't be Sagnol. Irish Jedi, good point about binning the FEI and starting over. I would worry that some of the characters of the previous regime may not see the current mess as an opportunity to get back in. Or may see the current mess as an opportunity to get back in. Stephen Ring, I mean, Harvey Ranard is free after Summer Olympics. I doubt we can afford him, if I'm honest with you. Irish Jedi, I think this talk about criteria really means that the FEI could not roll out their new pathways plan and then appoint an old school manager like Uton, Bruce or McCarthy in the same week. That's fair. I think that, and I did say that as well, is that you can't talk about being our new shiny technical director and all these pathways and ta-da, Neil Lennon or Chris Coleman. Where actually, though, Chris Uton would make more sense because he's more of a coach than a manager. I still wouldn't want Chris Uton, nothing against him, but it just wouldn't get me juices going. Dave McGuinness, the end of the John O'Shea comment was Stan could have a good club career. He never recovered from it. I don't want that to happen to John O'Shea, who has the onions to be a good manager. International management isn't the baptism of fire a new manager needs. You need a daily routine first. Yeah, I'd go with that. Although it didn't do too bad for Mark Hughes. He did take over as manager of Wales, then Blackburn. I think he was a good manager. Then all went to shit. Paul Nealon's recent comments about Keane as manager were correct. The WhatsApp message from Ward is every reason why it would be a disaster. Certain players wouldn't play for Keane. Oh, yeah. Oh, you mean it's not just that. Like, he's a lot of star row with a talking clock. Roy Keenan is Irish Football Blog. How you doing, Bill? Winning the cup. Jesus Christ. David McGuinness again. Brian Kerr only said he wanted a break from football. He didn't say Chris said he didn't want it on Virgin Media. Okay. That's your knowledge. Dave McGuinness again. I live in London and all my football money goes back over the IRC and into domestic Irish football. I'm a rare breed. I go to football in England and all I hear are Irish accents. And the last comment of the night is name for the book should be Over the Hill Football Board. There we go. All right, lads, we're going to leave it there. Thank you very much. Great questions there. And hopefully we all feel a little bit lighter after venting a little bit there about the state of Irish football. We will be back during the week. Martin and I will have a few state of plays and we will see how this unfolds because we're probably going to look at doing, I think we're going to start doing some retro stuff. I think we need to be cheered up a little bit. I think we're going to look at doing some retro episodes. We haven't done that for a while because it's the current stuff's just been absolutely mad, but I think we probably need to back away a little bit. But look, if something happens, if a new manager is plucked out of thin air, we will be live. And we will come on and we'll do an impromptu live episode. But anyway, we're going to leave it there. Thank you guys for your support. It's brilliant as always. You are the Roar Faithful and you keep us going. And thank you so much for that. You guys are absolutely amazing. We're going to leave it there. We will have a live episode. Not sure if we're going to have one this week, but do keep an eye on our socials. We will let you know. And as always, If you like what you see and you love what you hear, scan that QR code, hit that subscribe button, guys. We are trying to grow the YouTube page. You know, give us a little nudge. You know, tell people, give them a little nudge and tell them about Lance and Roar. We are doing God's work, or we're trying at least anyway, every Sunday. Sorry, noisy rabbit again. But yeah, if you could let your friends know about what we do, hit a like button, you know, and hit the like button and hit the subscribe button. Be fantastic. Do head over to Facebook, Instagram, and our Twitter. We're going to leave it there. Thank you very much. Good night. God bless. And trust the process. That's the wrong one. Even when... Anyway, I'm going now. Good night. God bless. And trust the process.